Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Woo! Championship weekend. Monday, you're going to wake up and go, hey, I know who's going to the Super Bowl. I mean, congratulations. Everybody's going to know who's going to the Super Bowl. But, yeah, you're going to wake up Monday morning and know. Just a little programming note, something you should know. If Monday you're going to know who's going to the Super Bowl, guess what Wednesday is? You're like, well, that's 2 days later, Doug. I'll still know who's going to the Super Bowl. No. This is bigger stuff. Bigger than who's going to go to the Super Bowl. That's because Wednesday, the Doug Gottlieb Show will be broadcast live from the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in San Diego.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Bigger than the Super Bowl. Bigger. Bigger. Tiger will be there. I'll be there, most importantly. I think my guy Hunter Mahan's going to be there, going to stop by. We're going to have a lot of fun next week, thanks to the folks at the Farmers Insurance Open. All right, it's championship weekend, and we're going to dive in with John Middlecoff. Man, we have an unbelievable show. Special thanks go out to the folks at Panini who've gotten us all some of these great guests, like Nick Chubb yesterday, like Sam Darnold. I'm going to ask Sam Darnold if he has asked Adam Gase what was going on with his eyes and what was he looking at during the press conference. I'm going to ask him. He joins us in 1 hour. Jeff Schwartz will join us, analyst for the Action Network. And, of course, his brother Mitchell is a Pro Bowler, offensive lineman with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll ask him to break down these four games and obviously break down the lines of these four games. And John Middlecoff is going to join us in 15 minutes. Some of the things that a former scout would look at. And then we also want to ask him about Kyler Murray and some of the conversations that he's heard and how he thinks he'll be evaluated as now he's made himself eligible for the NFL draft. Lot to get to. But let's start with the news of the day. We were told there would be no changes. Hey, no changes. Cowboys doing the same thing. I remember you had Jerry Jones going back 2 days ago saying, if I was to grade out these coaches, I think they would grade pretty well. How's my Jerry? It's okay. Like, I feel like I do a better Lou Holtz than I do if I was to, but you have to, there's certain syllables you have to, if I was to grade out these coaches, I think they would grade pretty well. And then news comes down today that Scott Linehan, longtime offensive coordinator, has been fired, has been 86th, has been axed, has been ousted. All right, that's enough. Which brings us to, did the Cowboys make change for change's sake? Or did they make change because it was definitely needed? And look, their offense steadily improved when they had Amari Cooper. But there was a lack of imagination with this offense. On the other hand, are there limitations from your quarterback that make the limitations in terms of the imagination more apparent, right? It's like, look, would you like to have guys running more inventive stuff? But maybe you have a quarterback who's not capable of running that stuff. And you wanted to be steady and you wanted to be... And I give credit to Jason Garrett, who apparently pulled the trigger on this move himself. This was not a Jerry Jones thing. This was a Jason Garrett thing. And it doesn't appear that this is a Jason Garrett thing that he felt like he had to do to save his job. He felt like it was for the betterment of his team. But it's a weird, it's weird timing because so many of the talented coordinators are already off the market, right? Now, look, it is the Cowboys. And I've been told by several people that Cliff Kingsbury would have been their preferred offensive coordinator if this move had been made before Cliff Kingsbury, one, signed on at USC, and then two, became the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. And I guess you can find an offensive coordinator elsewhere. But this is really, really interesting in the, hey, yesterday we told you if Lincoln Riley can fix Jalen Hurts, what can he do in the National Football League, right? Just drop the mic in college football. He can make Jalen Hurts into a viable passer after doing the same thing with Kyler Murray and making him a Heisman Trophy winner and the same thing with Baker Mayfield. I mean, doesn't he become the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Doesn't that become too obvious? So I think it's several factors. One, it's the reality that they're still kind of lame, kind of stale, kind of limited offensively, and you couldn't make this move midseason. You respected Linehan enough to allow him to show improvement and not take the playbook from him, not have Jason Garrett call plays. But you also have to stop and look at it and go, like, look, these are the guys we have. This is the quarterback we have. Let's figure out a way to make it work. And this move makes a lot more sense than some of these potential coordinators becoming head coaches because they know Sean McVay. Trying something new is great. You just can't try something new in the middle of the season. It's really, really hard to change things up when guys are used to doing something. So do I think that Jason Garrett has heard from others in the organization and maybe even his quarterback? Sure. Do I think he's heard from people in the media? I don't think it's crazy to think that the people he respects, not necessarily typical media members, but former players saying, hey, your offense is kind of stale. And I think you look around and you're like, well, who are the best play callers in football? Sean Payton, he's playing for a championship. Josh McDaniels, he's playing for a championship. Andy Reid, he's playing for a championship. Sean McVay, he's playing for a championship. And as much as Jason Garrett has shown himself to be a coach who, for the most part, is solid and steady and really good at leading a team and good generally with quarterbacks and deals well in terms of how he's handled egos, Jason Garrett does not call plays now and needs to find an expert play caller. Every team does this at the end of the season where they call guys in, they have the coaches come in, everybody comes in, and they do exit meetings. And I'm sure then you do the self-assessment, the self-scout. What do we need to do better? And not taking advantage of Ezekiel Elliott in the passing game, not showing more inventive ways to move the football, was something you couldn't change on the fly. But now that you have the gift of the entire offseason, you do it. So do I love it? Not if it's only reaction to the media or to the fans, but do I get it? Yeah, I do. Look at the trend in the National Football League. Look at what's limited your team. Understand you have your quarterback. You need to find a play caller who fits that quarterback because that quarterback is not going anywhere. Right? Do I think that Dak Prescott deserves to be a top five paid quarterback? No. Do I think the Cowboys will probably overpay because you generally overpay for what you have? In you're not going to reset the market, but you do pay the next guy more money than he probably should get. And there'll be some sort of negotiation between long-term stability, which Dak wants, and top dollar, which Dak also wants. He's not going to get both. If he wants the long-term stability, he'll have to take a little bit less. But this is your quarterback. He has proven, at least to Jerry Jones and probably to Jason Garrett, that he's capable of being the starting quarterback for a long time. Doesn't mean he's great. I told you before, he's Sbarro Pizza. But you got to find a more inventive play caller who jibes, who fits better with Dak Prescott. Because remember, Scott Linehan was there back when they had Tony Romo. And you could have more kind of mundane play calls. Why? Because you had the inventive nature and the creativeness of Tony Romo, who found a way to keep plays alive. Tony Romo is essentially Brett Favre in a Cowboys uniform. That's not who Dak is. Find a coordinator, find a system that marries best with your quarterback. My guess would be it's going to be something where he's going to be on the move more. I've asked the NFL players, said, why don't they use him as a runner more? He's got a big body. He can run. He can move. He can move the pocket some as well. He's not going to stand back there and throw 50 balls and pick apart a defense. That's not who he is. But it doesn't mean you can't win with him. And so my guess is this is just a clear self-assessment of finding coordinator who fits with coach because they've topped out in what they can do. Excuse me, finding coordinator who fits with quarterback because they've topped out in what they can do in the marriage between now former offensive coordinator Scott Linehan and Dak Prescott. I don't think this was knee-jerk. If it was, Linehan would have been gone as soon as the game was over. You would have heard this news breaking on Monday. This feels like it's after talking to all the players in the exit meetings and after thinking about it long and hard on how to progress and take the next step with the Cowboys. And if that's the thought process, that's the one I agree with.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Sam Darnold joins us, starting quarterback, New York Jets, QB1. Got a season under his belt, already gotten his coach fired. See, that you did, Sammy. You get your coach fired. Sam joins us on behalf of Panini, where he's signing NFL trading cards in Los Angeles. It's been a gloomy week here in L.A., but thanks so much, Sam, for taking time out of your day. How would you characterize your rookie season in the NFL?
Yeah, a lot of learning experiences. You could definitely say that. And, I'm just really excited about, I think more so than anything, it just, there were so many games. I feel like there were four or five games that we lost where we were winning going into the fourth quarter. And I think, obviously you don't want that to happen. You don't want to lose those games. Those are games that you should win. But I think that just kind of shows our promise, and it shows that we're capable of winning a lot of games. And I think that this team is. And I think we're primed to be able to do that and to be able to go on a run next year and really kind of just grow off what we did this year. You know, there were a lot of guys that stepped up, a lot of new faces that stepped up for this team. And, I'm just really excited to kind of build off of that. And I think, with Coach Gase and now Coach Greg Williams coming in and being able to help out the defense, I think there's a lot of upside to what we can do and what we're capable of. So as a whole, I'm just really, really excited. I'm really, really excited about getting to work with Coach Gase and this offense.
Any idea what he was looking at during the press conference?
no idea.
Did you ask him? Did you go like, dude, what happened there?
No, I wasn't going to mention it. If anyone was going to mention it, I think I wanted him to bring it up first.
Yeah.
But I think Coach Gase is awesome. I talked to him there, right before the hire became official, and, just kind of talked about where we want this team to go and kind of where we see the offense headed. And he has some really, really good ideas, some really good thoughts. And I'm just really excited to hopefully here soon. Obviously within the rules of the CBA, but hopefully here soon we can get together and talk about this offense a little bit more and go in depth a little bit.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Sam Darnold is our guest. You mentioned it's a great learning experience. Give me something you learned. What specifically did you learn?
Yeah, I think just learning about the game, because I think a lot of people don't realize this. The common fan doesn't realize it as much, but definitely as a player who just came from college, there's a huge difference between college football and NFL football, just in the way it's played. I think college is so much more tempo, and it's like, okay, we just got to score more points than the other team, whereas NFL is so much more of a chess game, I feel like. And, you're playing more of the field position game, and as a quarterback, you become a little bit more conservative with the ball, and which I think is what I learned throughout the year. And I think the last few games kind of showed that. I felt like I was a little bit more consistent with where I was going to the football, and if nothing was there, I was going to check the ball down and let my guys go to work. And I think that's the biggest thing is for me, the biggest thing that I learned for me was just putting the ball in play, and I think putting it in, whether it's a running back, a receiver, tight end, just putting it in someone's hands and letting them go get some yards. And, we got to, in the open field, got to make people miss, got to create chunk plays on our own. And I think that's kind of the name of the game. And I learned a lot, this season, especially, I would especially say, after that first half where, things necessarily didn't go my way and had some games where I performed pretty poorly. And then I got hurt there in the middle and learned a ton from Josh McCown. And I think I just learned how to be consistent and how to be consistent not only on the field during Sundays, but also putting together great weeks, you know, in the film room, in walkthroughs, in practice. I think I learned a ton from Josh and Jeremy Bates and Mick Lombardi, Davis Webb, all those guys that worked so hard to kind of put this thing together and make it run. I think I just learned a ton throughout the whole year. There was a lot that I could have learned from, but I think that specifically, you know, just kind of learning how to manage a game and, you know, how to play the NFL game was the biggest thing that I learned.
You know, a lot of people talked about Josh and his influence on you. Heck, he's even like a member of your family, right? Like your mom and dad come up and talk to him above talking to you. What is that? So what is he really like? How has he been so helpful to you?
He's amazing. You know, I can't say enough great things about him. He's just helped in so many ways. I mean, it was interesting though, because during the beginning of the year when I was starting and going through walkthroughs and you know, practice, Josh wanted to make sure that he wasn't saying as much as he necessarily thought or, you know, maybe wanted to, just because, you know, it was my time to kind of try to take over and kind of just make it my team, my offense. And, you know, and then once I got hurt and I was able to see the way, you know, he wanted it, you know, because there's one thing of trying to explain it to someone, which he tried to do in the beginning, which, by the way, he did a great job of. I just must have not got it. And then once he got out there and I was like, oh, that's exactly what he was talking about. Or, you know, that's how you do a walkthrough. And that's what he meant by speed up the time in the walkthrough, because, you know, we're a little time crunch. We want to get extra plays in. So just kind of the sense of urgency that he had throughout the week is exactly what I think I was lacking in, you know, the beginning of the year. And I think I just learned a ton of little things like that from Josh. And but, you know, I think the biggest thing that I learned from Josh was how to be off the field. You know, the kind of person that he is off the field with his kids and his wife and with all of the guys in the locker room, I think that says more than anything about Josh and kind of how much he cares about everyone.
You know what's funny is I think a lot of people think Jets, New York City, that's you're going to hang. Like, the facility is nowhere near New York City. And you only you only go in if you really want to go in. Like, how close to the facility you live?
Yeah, so I live right by the facility. I live about probably like a 2-3 minute drive from the facility. And so with that being said, you know, I'm pretty far away from the city. So, but it's nice because I get a nice quiet place where I can sit down and focus on my work, focus on football. And then, you know, if I want to get away or my family's in town, we want to go to a nice dinner. Jersey has great places to go eat. But, you know, if we want to really you know, go to Manhattan or go to, you know, one of those nice places in the city, we can. So, no, it's just a really nice place to be able to be at, to be quiet. And then whenever we want to go and have, you know, kind of that night out with the family or with my teammates, we can.
How long did it take you to get used to having somebody else pump your gas? Because for people who don't know, in New Jersey, you actually are not allowed to pump your own gas. How long did that take to get used to?
Yeah, you know, it took a while. I'm going to be honest. You know, it was, but at the same time, you know, after you get used to it, it's kind of nice because you just sit in your car, especially when it's cold. But no, it's funny because Josh, the first time that happened to Josh, Josh got out to pump his own gas, and the guy was like, you know, just trying to take his card from him, and Josh was like, "Whoa, bro, what are you doing? Like, back off." And Josh got kind of hostile towards the guy, and the guy's like, "No, like, it's illegal to pump your own gas here." So Josh was like, "Oh, okay." And but I thought that was kind of funny, and you know, it's a little bit different, but yeah, it's I've gotten used to it now, and when it gets cold, especially, it's kind of nice.
We're gonna see a couple of the all-time greats do it, and a couple of young guys do it, guys that you know really well, Mahomes and Jared Goff. You got a chance to see Brady up close and personal. Of course, you've watched him for years. What about Brady did you not know that you know now, having seen him on the same football field that you played on?
Yeah, I think kind of what I mentioned earlier, he's just a total game manager. He understands where to go with the football. It's so funny, though, because, you know, I'm sitting there on the sideline and watching him move around, and he's, honest, to be honest, he's just slow. You know, he doesn't move very fast. He He's just very methodical, and you look up and he's already, you know, he's got a 5-minute drive and he's already down there, you know, scoring touchdowns, throwing the ball to Gronk, right on the money, you know, back shoulders, finding a wide open Edelman in the end zone. So it's just, you know, it's crazy, you know, to be able to watch him play and make it look so easy. But I think it's more of a testament, and this is why I have so much respect for him now, you know, playing my first year in the NFL, of just how easy he makes it look, because it's not that easy. And but it just, I think it's just a testament to kind of how hard he works, and all the work that he's put in every single off season and during the year especially.
Great stuff. Hey, dude, thanks to the good folks at Panini. Pretty cool to be looking at your own trading card right now that you're signing for. That's a cool deal. Do you have one up in the frame at the house and at your parents' house?
Definitely. Well, my dad might. My dad might have a frame, but, you know, I'm not sure. But it's definitely a cool deal, man. I mean, to be here with Panini, and Panini's been with us rookies who are here, since really the process started. You know, right when we decided to leave for the NFL draft. So, you know, Panini's kind of been there this whole way, and wouldn't want to work with anyone else. You know, they've been amazing, and you know, every single event that we go to sign cards and to kind of hang out in their lounge areas that they put on, it's great. You know, that they're a class act, and you know, I'm not, you know, again, I wouldn't want to be with any other trading card company. But it is funny because, you know, growing up collecting cards and, you know, MLB, Upper Deck, Topps, all those cards that I collected when I was younger, it's so weird. You know, when I first saw the card, my rookie card, I was just like, man, you know, this is, it's getting pretty real. And this was before the rookie season, obviously. But, man, it is pretty insane. It is pretty surreal to be able to see your face and your name and your college stats on that card. It's awesome, and honestly something I've dreamed of.
Yeah, and you got the swatches, the little jersey swatches on the Panini cards. Those are cool as well. Hey, well, welcome back home. Sorry we couldn't do more about the weather for you. I don't know. It's insane, but the surf is up, so hopefully you get a chance to hit a little bit in San Clemente. Thanks for joining us, dude.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate it.
Pleasure is all ours. That's Sam Darnold, quarterback, QB1 of the New York Jets.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I think that what Belichick has done surpasses even the greatness of Tom Brady. It's handling the egos of the quarterback, of the owner, of the players. Being able to be flexible when you lose staff members, which he has. Remember, part of what happened to the Patriots when they went through a decade of not winning a championship, which historically will be seen as, well, man, a decade without winning a championship. In that decade, they did go 16-0, had an undefeated regular season, something we hadn't seen since the 72 Dolphins. And they lost in the Super Bowl. So it's like, did they go a decade? Yeah, but they actually probably had their best team during that decade. They've parted ways with plenty of players. And it shouldn't diminish Tom Brady, but Tom Brady's first Super Bowl was not because of Tom Brady. We remember things differently now than we did back then. Right? Back then, the Patriots were about the team and the defense. If you remember, back then, everyone used to be introduced. They have an offense or the defense introduced at the Super Bowl. And the Patriots, the first team, Rams offense was introduced. And then quarterback for the Rams, Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner comes running out, right? At running back for the Rams, Marshall Faulk. And it's just star after star after star after star. Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. You name it. And then it was, and now the New England Patriots, and then they come running out in the field. They went from a team built as a team with a great defense and with just enough skill players. Then they added Corey. Remember, they had Corey Dillon, who they would always make an acquisition of a guy that somebody else didn't want, or somebody else who had Junior Seau late in his career. They had Corey Dillon when he couldn't get along in Cincinnati. They had Randy Moss, who had worn out his welcome and didn't want to be in Oakland before. Can you say there have been better offensive coaches? Sure. Have there been better defenses? Sure. Have there been better quarterbacks? I would actually make the case, sure. There have been teams that are built more for certain seasons. But finding a way to be flexible enough to change styles, but rigid enough to establish a culture and a way of doing things is incredibly difficult. So, yeah, Brady's awesome, and Brady has great leadership. But part of it is, part of leadership, this is the everyone has a boss, is how Brady's boss allowed him to be a leader. That actually is on Belichick. You got to read your team, you got to read your players, and you got to understand which guys can handle what you want to give them. You can't make a leader out of a guy who just isn't one. And when you find one that is, you got to stick by him. And you got to find a way as his ego grows. And look, we can say what we want about Tom Brady and how he handles himself and how he leads and how he works. Well, let's be honest now. He's married to the most financially successful supermodel of all time. He's the most successful quarterback in football history. If you think he doesn't have an ego, like there's just no way of achieving the level of greatness or reality that would have to be suspended in order to believe that. And Belichick has found a way to nicely coexist with that ego. There's a healthy ego and there's an unhealthy ego, and Brady probably has mostly a healthy ego, but it's still an ego. And when Robert Kraft, your owner, says your quarterback's the greatest football player of all time, like, man, this is going to be really tough, but he's found a way to coexist, to lead, and at some times just let him be. I'll tweak Tom in the preseason. I'll tweak Tom in the regular season. But in the postseason, I'm going to mostly let Tom and Josh McDaniels just be. Let them do them. And, oh, yeah, by the way, read your team, read your quarterback, and understand what they need. They went out and drafted Sony Michel in the first round. You don't need a running back in the first round. This team did. And they did just because he understood how they would have to play to win once they got in January. And how did it work last week? How did it work last week? I told you yesterday, the fact that Dick Vermeil and Eric Dickerson and others call them cheaters, it only means that they're greater than anyone could have ever thought. That's actually a compliment if you didn't cheat. If you didn't cheat and somebody calls you a cheater, that says you're so awesome, you must be doing something that's not legal for other people to do. And I think that's closer to the truth than the idea that they've actually cheated. I would say Bill Walsh had a greater impact in terms of the coaching style and the West Coast offense and the number of coaches that went on to greatness. And Bill Parcells probably did as well. But, you know, Belichick has this kind of Coach K way of finding a way to always be there in the mix. And to have Brady and to lose and to get rid of so many other talented pieces at times and still be able to achieve. We always point out how now the Bills and the Jets and the Dolphins haven't figured out. You don't think they're trying, do you? You don't think they're not trying, do you? Of course they're trying. They just can't seem to achieve it. They just can't seem to figure it out. They can't seem to crack the code. The league is designed to bring you back to earth after a great year, and they've had double-digit wins all except for one year in which Tom Brady has been their quarterback with Bill Belichick as their coach. If that's not greatness, I don't know what is.